be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, in fact, all Jews do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of their elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups, jugs, and kettles, and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" Jesus responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human traditions." He went on to say, "How well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother, and whoever curses father and mother shall die.' Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have for me, is korban, that is dedicated to God, you allow him to do nothing more for his father or mother.' You nullify the word of God in favor of the tradition you have handed on. And you do many such things." The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the first reading, we hear one of the most important things ever said. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Those were performative words, not just descriptive. When God said it, it happened. We were made in his image and likeness, in the very image and likeness of God. This should fill us with wonder. That's why the responsorial psalm today talks about that wonder. "What is man that you should be even mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you should care for him? Yet you have made him little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet." We should always respond with wonder to this extraordinary reality that we have been made to resemble the divine. But what does that mean? The great minds and the great saints and the magisterium over the course of the century have helped us to enter into this mystery. We can look at five different ways. First is we resemble God by our mind. Just as God is rational, he is the nous, N-O-U-S. So we are called to resemble God by the way we use the gift of the intellect God has given us. Do we? St. Paul called the first Christians in Philippi to put on the mind of Christ. Don't think the way others do. Don't be ruled by your belly. We could say don't be ruled by your emotions. But that mind, great gift that we have to think, is meant to help us to image God. So our thoughts need more and more to be God's thoughts, not human thoughts, which will bring us to the gospel shortly. Second way was through our will, that just like God, we are free and we can choose. But do we use that capacity of freedom to become more free? Jesus described for us the way that we remain free by remaining in his truth, remaining in the way God made us, made the world, made others. Do we use our freedom precisely for its purpose, which is to love as God uses his freedom, to become more and more the image of God? We need to choose freely to love. Brings us to the third image. God said, let us make man in our own image. The first Jewish interpreters didn't know why God was using a divine we. In so many of the other parts of sacred scripture, he used the first person singular. Why was he using the first person plural here? It wouldn't really make sense until Jesus came. For example, said, baptize in the name, not the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a Trinitarian communion that is being revealed here in God making us in his image and likeness, made us to exist in a loving communion of persons. That's why the passage goes on to say, God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Marriage, as John Paul II liked to stress, is a paramount image of God, because two people can love each other so much that their love can generate a third person. Putting into flesh a little glimpse of how Father and Son could love each other, inspirate another person, flowing from that communion and strengthening it. For us to grow in the image of God, for us to really ponder its depths, we have to recognize that we've been made for communion. Last week, my friend Bob Royal came to teach the Leonine Forum, for which I'm a chaplain. And he was going through some of the readings of de Tocqueville with regard to what made America a religious people. And he talked about what was obvious 225 years ago, that we are not fundamentally individuals, but there's a triple sense of belonging that the founders of the U.S. clearly grasped in opposition to the Enlightenment. That first we've got the sense of belonging to a family, then we have a sense of belonging to God as a family of faith. We've got a belonging to churches. And then third, we've got a belonging to a people, to a nation, that there's an authentic patriotism. Today, one of the real cancers in society is that people go about things as if society is just an agglutination of individuals rather than people made for communion. But not just any communion, not just for us to belong to a fraternity or sorority. We're called to belong in a communion of persons in love. That's what Jesus prayed for during the Last Supper, that we might become one just as the Father and he are one. And the Holy Spirit wishes to help us to enter into that communion. But to grow in the image and likeness of God, we are going to become more loving, more communal, more in union with each other. God will give us plenty of opportunities to do so. Through forgiveness, through sacrifice, through generosity. Fourth aspect of the image of God is divine filiation. Christ is the image of the invisible God. We know he came as the Son, and the principal work of the Holy Spirit is to make us sons in the Son, to make us true children of God, crying out, Abba, Father. We become more and more like God when we enter into Jesus' sonship. So therefore, to grow in the image of God, we need to ponder that mystery of our divine filiation, what love God has shown us in not just letting us be called children of God, but making us children of God. So indeed we are, St. John exclaims. And fifth and lastly, we are in God's image and likeness by our capacity for work. God is working still, Jesus would reveal in St. John's Gospel. Jesus came and he was a hard worker, a tecton, somebody who built stuff. At the beginning of creation, as we see, we were given a triple work before the fall, to increase and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, and to have dominion over all the creatures that God had made. This work helps us to become like the one who gave us that command to work. But in order for our work to make us more like God, we must do it for God and with God and out of love for others. Working as sons and daughters together with the Father in his great divine workshop, using our mind, using our will, doing it together with others. Jesus, when he entered the world, sought to restore us to the image of and likeness of God, which had been wounded by original sin, not obliterated. And we see one of those wounds in today's gospel. So many of the Pharisees had begun to neglect the wonder for being God's image in these ways that we've just described, and thought that the principal way to relate to God were through these 4th and 5th century B.C. regulations to prevent us from ever getting close to violating God's word. So as I've walked through with you many times, they thought that it was really essential for us to take an eggshell and a half of water and pour it over our hands from the tips of our fingers and let the water run down on both sides of our hands and then use our hands as a ball to dry them. Take another eggshell and a half and put it the opposite way and use the opposite side of our hands. That was essential, they thought, for becoming who God created us to be and pleasing God. And likewise, washing kettles and jugs and beds and all the rest. They had distorted it. They had missed the point. So Jesus was trying to take them back to what the real point was. And he highlighted one. Our parents are meant to be images of God. Two senses. First, as other human beings. But then also, as icons of the Creator, as sources of life together with God. And if we do not honor them, we are not honoring God in this twofold sense. Jesus was saying the Pharisees of his time were exalting their human traditions over the essence of our Christian spirituality, which is to revere God directly and indirectly through all those made in his image and likeness. And instead of reverencing God and our parents, they were washing their hands of their care for their parents by just saying everything is korban, everything is dedicated to God, which didn't mean really dedicated to God. It meant using as an excuse so that you could dedicate it to whatever you wanted to buy. Jesus was calling them back to the real meaning of the law, and we'll see it as we go through the readings this week. How does the Lord renew us in who we really are? He seeks to do so at every Mass. He begins with the Word of God to nourish the way that we look at the whole world. That Word isn't supposed to remain an intellectual exercise, but is to penetrate our will so that we will respond by choosing to live in conformity with it. That word is meant to be a common word, a common good that brings us into greater communion with each other and with Christ, the eternal Son of God, who sends the Holy Spirit not just upon the elements of bread and wine, but upon the elements of man and woman in order to make us one body, one spirit in Christ. And all of this happens so that together with the Lord inside, we might go out and grow more and more in His image through the work that we have today. As we approach the altar today, we give God thanks for the gift of human life, for the image of God that He has placed within every creature, that no being, however small, is ever a mere mortal, as C.S. Lewis once quipped, because it bears the image of the divine. To help us to go out with our minds, with our hearts and wills, to bring those images of God into communion with us so that they might discover through the sacraments their divine filiation, complete God's threefold work in the world, and come to experience the eternal Sabbath of divine rest to which He summons. Praise be Jesus Christ.